I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
There is a lot to get to with you. I want to start, though, on the news this morning from Congressman Matt Gaetz, who says he's going to seek a motion to vacate. He's going to try to oust you as Speaker of the House.
That's nothing new. He's tried to do that from the moment I ran for office. Look.
Well, this time he says he's going to keep going. May not get there before the 15th ballot, but it took 15 for Kevin McCarthy. He says he's coming for you. Can you survive?
Yes, I'll survive. You know, this is personal with Matt. Matt voted against the most conservative ability to protect our border, secure our border. He's more interested in securing TV interviews than doing something. He wanted to push us into a shutdown, even threatening his own district with all the military people there who would not be paid, only because he wants to take this motion. So be it. Bring it on. Let's get over with it, and let's start governing. If he's upset because he tried to push us in a shutdown, and I made sure government didn't shut down, then let's have that fight.
Well, we did not have the shutdown, as some feared we might have over the weekend, and it came about as a delay tactic again, another continuing resolution, kick the can down the road some more, and in part, you have to look at President Biden and Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat, because repeatedly McCarthy said he reached out to have meetings with them because both the Senate and the House have to come up with a bill. The House has full control of the purse strings, but they both come up with bills and support or no support. But Biden and Schumer knew, let's just go by the old playbook. Delay, delay, delay. Until we're up against the deadline, and then Republicans won't be able to get it together, and we'll say, well, we're shut down because of the Republicans. I don't like exactly the way it went down, but I will stress to you again, you're never going to get a perfect bill. I know for some, the word compromise is tantamount to blasphemy. There are times it's better to do that. Now, by compromise, it means we come together from both sides. Not that I take a step forward and you move three back. That will not work. So we still have a lot of work to go. We're going to break it down for you, and in particular, this battle going on right now between Gaetz and McCarthy. Gaetz is now being quoted in teasing, basically. If you think we're not going to have an anti-McCarthy motion, stay tuned. I'll get to that in a moment. Thank you again for joining us. Here we are, October 2nd, 2023. Second hour, Larry Connors, USA, back-to-back, right here for you. And when on the air, we're also streaming for you. News Talk STL, Facebook and Twitter. Larry Connors, USA, Facebook and Twitter. And on Rumble. You miss anything, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. Everything will be posted for you. And then share with your friends, even your enemies. Thank you. So we have no shutdown so far. But the GOP infighting of what we're seeing going on right now continues to ramp up temperature-wise, and the left loves it. You want a perfect example of how to get on CNN and NN? All you have to do is start talking against and saying anything bad about Republicans in general, McCarthy, Donald Trump. That'll get you on for sure. And so Matt Gaetz appears on CNN and NN Sunday on State of the Union with Jake Tapper. And talking about Kevin McCarthy holding on to the Speaker's position. Any member of Congress can take to the floor and say, I want to introduce a motion to have a vote of confidence in the Speaker. That means the Speaker will stay or go. There were a lot of times it was rumored that it would happen with Nancy Pelosi. But when it came down to it, No one had the cojones to do it. They didn't. Is Gates a loose cannon in many cases? He's done some things that are certainly questionable, as has Donald Trump, I'll point out, as has Schumer and Biden and McCarthy, as everyone has. But this is playing out right to the way the Democrats love to sit back and watch. More popcorn, more beer. This is going to be fun. The question Jake Tapper asked of Gates at the time, how many House Republicans you think will be with you in your motion to vacate? That means for McCarthy to leave speakership. Tapper pointed out, obviously you need 218 to get him out. You don't have 218 votes. You'll need Democrats. Now let's begin with that question right there. Back to the interview on Face the Nation that McCarthy was doing with the new host of Face the Nation as she's handling the duties now, Margaret Brennan. It came the same question, basically. Who's reaching across to get Democrats to support them?
Democrats could cross over and follow Gates's lead on this.
Yeah, look, Gates is trying to work with Democrats. He's reached out to Swalwell, to AOC, and others. But if that's the way we're going to govern, I don't think America is going to be successful. Look, at the end of the day, think of everything we've been able to accomplish so far. Parents' Bill of Rights. We passed the most conservative bill to protect our border, make America energy independent. We've been able to cut $2 trillion in the debt ceiling, get work requirements back in. The hard part we have right now is the Senate has not passed one appropriation bill. Each body's supposed to pass 12. We've passed more than 70% of the discretionary spending already.
But those,
I thought it was
no
appropriate.
Chance of surviving in the Senate and making it into law.
Well, you said, that same thing when we stopped the D.C. from decriminalizing everything. You said the same thing when we said we're going to stop the pandemic.
I don't think I ever talked about those things.
Well, no, you and the press would do think, why pass it? Because the Senate won't take it up and won't sign it. Most of the in the press probably thought we would have shut down yesterday, too. But no, we did not.
Were you confident we wouldn't shut down?
I was confident I could get something on the floor to make sure the option that we would not.
And to that extent, he did. But still, Gates is saying, you made a deal we shouldn't have accepted. And I'm going to put forward a motion to have you vacate. And if asked when, he just simply says, stay tuned. But the very fact, according to McCarthy, if Gates is asking people like AOC in the House to join with him to get McCarthy out, and people like Eric Swalwell, who slept with a Chinese spy, although I didn't know she was a spy. Very intriguing, very enticing woman, but I didn't know she was a spy. If those are the kinds of people he's reaching out to help him get enough votes to oust McCarthy, I say no. In fact, there are several pieces beginning to flood all kinds of outlets as to who's taking which side at this point. And when you begin to try to find some source of looking at one piece here that says Marjorie Taylor Greene warns that GOP voters will not go for any effort to expel Matt Gaetz. So if it turns around on him, that many on the GOP would be not for that. That's data today. It's not McCarthy being vacated for Gates to be kicked out of the House. But again, making connections and alliances with AOC and Swalwell, Gates, you're going down the wrong path. Now, the other thing about McCarthy pointing out he's seeing him reach out to Democrats, McCarthy says the issue is when it comes to the budget. Let's just deal with the budget. The Senate continues to be the one failing.
The Senate hasn't passed one bill. The Senate didn't pass anything about the shutdown. The Senate hasn't passed anything about securing the border. The Senate hasn't passed anything about $100 a barrel.
The House hasn't passed anything about the border that could actually become
law. Yes, we have.
No. Not that could become law.
That's your opinion. The House is its own body. The Senate is its own body. We're not going to surrender to the Senate. We pass what the American people want. Mm-hmm. I will tell you each and every day, and don't take my word for it, you're going to have the governor of New York on it who told people to go somewhere else. The New York City mayor literally says it's destroying a city. No, let me answer your question since you said we wouldn't do something. Do you know the governor of Massachusetts has declared a state of emergency? This is one of the number one crises as far from the border as you can see. This is killing Americans every single day.
There was no border funding in the continuing resolution that passed last night, but let me ask you about
Ukraine. But that's not fair to just say that. Let's understand.
Well, there wasn't.
Okay, well, let's educate the viewers why there wasn't. Because the day before, there was. But Matt Gaetz and others denied that and voted no. So we could have had border security. Okay. I went all the way through everything we could to the last moment. And you know what? We're going to be able to win that.
When will you be able to bring a vote on Ukraine aid? The White House says that you are going to do this quickly.
Look, the priority for me is America and our borders. Now, I support being able to make sure Ukraine has the weapons that they need, but I fully support the border first.
We're going to get more into that in a moment, but as to how damaging things are getting inside the House, as I'd mentioned in the beginning of this program today, it says circling the wagons, the GOP is forming a circular firing squad. Congresswoman Victoria Spartz, Republican of Indiana, says, I'm considering resigning from Congress. She said, I've done many difficult things, being one woman standing many times with many very long hours and personal sacrifices, but there's a limitation to human capacity. If Congress does not pass a debt commission this year to move the needle on the crushing national debt and inflation, at least at the next debt ceiling, at the increase of 2024, I will not continue sacrificing my children for this circus with a complete absence of leadership, vision, and spine. I cannot save this republic alone. There's a congresswoman who said, if we're not going to put a cap on this debt ceiling and start pulling back, if we're going to just throw money to everything, then I'm out of here. I'm not going to take part in it. Now, again, part of the battle is money for Ukraine. You heard some remark from McCarthy on that. But let's go back again because he's insisting our border should come first.
The American border matters, and that is our priority to make sure we secure that.
So that has to move first.
I'm going to make sure that the weapons are provided for Ukraine, but they're not going to get some big package if the border is not secure.
But you haven't figured out yet the vehicle through which to move that Ukraine aid or a date by which to do it.
We will work with people in need, but the one thing the White House has to understand, they better be prepared to secure American border.
What does that mean specifically? What are you looking for there?
Well, The bill you think that won't go anywhere could easily do it, H.R. 2. Remain in Mexico, finish the wall. You've got to change asylum to be able to secure this border.
Those are all good points, and they could well pass that. Congressman Henry Cuellar of Texas lives on the border, and he knows how essential border security is, but he's also very concerned about Ukraine.
In life, we have to make a decision. Either we're for good or for evil. Either we're for democracy or we're for dictatorships. And this Uniting for Ukraine program allows Ukrainians that are displaced by the Russian invasion of Ukraine to apply to come to the U.S. through humanitarian parole. This amendment seeks to stop a program that blocks thousands of Ukrainians from entering the country. It plays in the hands of Russia. Russia, here again, an attempt to cut any support for Ukraine as they fight to defend the country from an illegal Russian invasion. Putin is attempting to rewrite the map of Europe through the use of force. He's doing so in violation of international law, is deliberately killing civilians, destroying the economic livelihood of Ukraine, and taking kids from Ukraine over, stealing the kids over and taking them to Russia. War crimes are being committed on a mass scale, and the United States and the democratic nations of the world must continue to strongly oppose him.
He's right on all of those points, except for which should come first, our nation or their nation. Now, we can't have the world collapse under Putin, agreed. But he also made a point, and Quentin noted that as well. You heard him say, again, Congressman Cuellar, all about border security, and he mentioned that Putin is kidnapping children from Ukraine, taking them into Russia. That is true. Well, as Quentin raised in his question, he's concerned about their kids. What about our kids? Our kids who are dying from fentanyl, and the kids being brought into our country who are being sold into sex dens, sex slavery, the rest of their lives, however long that might be, until they decide they're tired of them, that they want someone fresh. And our children, what they're going through with the fentanyl spreading throughout communities, the deaths, and how they're going to be deprived of certain resources because schools are overcrowded, medical resources are stretched, crime is out of control. Where's the concern for our kids? You shut the border, then we can rediscuss Ukraine. You can do both if you say Ukraine will be part of a package, but the Biden administration, along with Chuck Schumer, want to say, we want a clean bill. We don't want anything out there about the border, really. Just Ukraine. Give me more money for Ukraine. Ukraine, another $16 billion. We're not even getting into the discussion. Don't have time for it now as to how much money Biden's have made possibly from Ukraine and China and other countries through some of the Hunter Biden business connections, which Joe says, I don't know anything about it. But even Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene says, U.S. first.
I deeply sympathize with the innocent people in Ukraine, especially since our government is forcing a proxy war there by funding and fueling a war instead of pushing peace in this country. However, America is facing our own war at our southern border, and we cannot stand to address every global crisis when our own house is not in order, yet safe. We cannot afford to violate our own immigration laws on behalf of a global crisis, especially a global crisis that the United States government is fueling and funding. The United States is fueling the war in Ukraine by sending tanks, ammunition, F-16s, and over $113 billion taxpayer dollars and counting, especially when the debate in Washington and the argument is about more money for Ukraine.
And that's the key. More money for Ukraine. Where's the money for the border? When are we going to close the border? Do that. Then we can focus on the rest of the world. Coming up, McCarthy speaks out about that fire alarm pulled by a member of Congress, and John LeBoot joins us. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental.
your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
In the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, it's starting to unwind. Four kids on the corner, trying to bring him up. Billy picks a tune out, and he throws it on the hum. Down on the corner, out in the street.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My next guest we have on often, he's always contrarian for many of you. He is not a Trumper. He's a Reaganite, which certainly we endorse Reagan. And he was a former New York congressman, went in during the Reagan years, as a matter of fact. Also wrote a book called Harvard Hates America. 45 years ago today, and John has now followed that up with some thoughts saying basically, little did I know back then that education and specifically what went on inside the classroom would become a major campaign issue. John, welcome aboard. Take it away.
Thank you, Larry. So 45 years ago, 1978,
You say 1878?
Or could be, because it's 1978, but what the hell, what's the difference?
Yeah, what's 100 years?
Yeah.
Between you and me, what's 100 years? Go ahead.
Yeah. So, but I can remember it pretty well, you know. My book, it was the first book I'd written. It's a big, exciting thing.
Sure.
And it was this book, as you said, called Harvard Hates America, which was not just about my time at Harvard College as an undergraduate, which it was, but also about my time at Harvard Business School, where I was a student when the book came out. And they're two different worlds. One was Harvard College was so liberal. I got there the year that Nixon was running for re-election against McGovern. And Harvard was so far left and just out of control. And, you know, I learned about liberals. That's how I learned about liberals, was being in the dorm with them, in the dining room with them, obviously in class with liberal teachers. The whole place was liberal, and that's no surprise. But what was a surprise to me, I hadn't expected it, was that in the classes themselves, the teachers put subtle pressure on the students to accept this liberalism, and sometimes not even so subtle, Larry, by using the power of the grade to reward those who, as I put it, regurgitated the liberal stuff and punished people like me who fought against the teacher because we didn't agree with the stuff.
Well, let me ask question. Your parents are paying for your education at this point, right?
Yeah.
So did you tell them that I've been sent to an indoctrination school, and were they accepting of that?
I don't think I ever did tell them. I don't think until I wrote the book, I don't think they had any idea what was going on there. You know, I don't really remember why I didn't talk about it. I know a lot of the other kids were, kids being other students at right. Harvard, had the same feelings I did. We'd roll our eyes at some of the stuff, like the sophomore history tutor that I had. On the first day in September, when we got into this room, there were about four of us in the class with him. And, you know, it was your my major was American history. So they gave you a tutor who would be a graduate student. And that was one of your courses, was you just worked with him once a week and wrote papers for him. And you read stuff, and then every week you'd get together and he'd talk about it. And the first day, this guy looks at the four of us, and we're all guys. There was no women in this thing. And he says, we're going to be doing American history through a Marxist perspective.
Right in your face.
Yeah. And he said, everything we do will be done through the lens of Marxism. And I hardly knew what it even was at that point. Right. I got to learn about it because he stressed it a lot. It's a bizarre way to teach American history through a anti-American, anti-capitalist spectrum. That's really what it was. Now, I'll tell you the funny thing, Larry. It made me a conservative. This guy being so crazy to the left, obviously I rejected everything he said, so naturally it made me into a conservative. I went into Harvard a political virgin. I didn't know any of this stuff. Right. I cared about baseball. I didn't care. I came out of Harvard very passionately conservative.
Now, based upon your experience, and you were seeing it there in Harvard, one of the institutions of, quote, higher learning, and then they began to filtrate with them and those professors and their proteges all across the nation. 45 years later, where is it in your view?
Well, from what I gather, now obviously I'm not in any classrooms or anything, but from talking to people everywhere I go, even reinforced today when the article came out by some emails from people who told me, oh yeah, I had the same thing happen to me. It's not only in colleges all across the country, but it's down below. It's in high school and elementary school. This thing called critical race theory that was such a big issue 2 years ago in the Virginia governor's race.
Right.
And, you know, the public teachers unions proclaimed, no, we're not teaching it. But I understand from people who are close to public school teachers that they are teaching parts of it subtly. But and what it basically is it's a, you know, racist kind of thing where they're saying that white people are bad and blah, blah, and all that. None of that stuff should be taught. You know, we ought to be teaching young people the basic skills, first of all, reading, writing, math, science, computer, all that, and then maybe help them learn how to think through things, but not indoctrinate, not preach, not use the classroom to favor one side or another.
So at what point do you think, I mean, you're talking about 45 years ago, you were seeing it begin to percolate. And then, of course, more recent years, I can't even put a time frame on it. The woke culture suddenly woke up and is infiltrating. And the parents, even in grade schools, were not aware of the indoctrination of their children, including pronoun, gender, things of this nature, until, unfortunately, that was a silver lining to COVID because of Zoom learning. And yet, right now, that has been the biggest issue in our nation. How do we protect our children from a woke agenda?
Yeah, well, I think actually before COVID, I think parents were getting hip to this thing. I really do. I think it was being talked about. And the way I say it, the reason I say I think they were onto it is look at the rise in homeschooling in America.
Right.
And that is not all safety, although a lot of it is. Parents are afraid of what happens to their kids physically with guns and all the stuff right. that goes on at schools. But I think part of it was ideological. I don't want my kid poisoned by this nonsense.
And there's also just the fact of the schools themselves failing on educating if they're truly trying to educate.
Well, totally. And that, by the way, there's another thing too, you know. This is not a knock on anybody, but our scores, so I've read, as a country, have gone down over the last 20, 25 years relative to Japan and other countries. But a big reason for that is we have so many illegal immigrant children who English is not their first language, and they're in our public schools. And as a whole, when you test the schools and the kids, the scores are down. But if you break out native-born American kids who English is the first language, their tests aren't as bad. They're not as bad. But the mixing together of people who don't speak English as a first language is slowing down the learning for others. That's all I'm aware of.
Well, also within teachers who really want to teach, and they went into it wide-eyed, kind of like you being naive in Harvard. You knew nothing about, you didn't have a political passion, and these teachers just have a passion to, I want to teach kids. And then they get in there and they find they're under the thumb of a union who wants them to do this, do that, do that. And suddenly they either do or they're not going to have the job.
Right. And we got to mention, you know, a big thing that has affected education at every level is lifetime tenure.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to fire a teacher. You can fire them for certain things, but not for what they say generally in the classroom. And there's a reason for that. You want to protect academic freedom and all that,
sure.
But they hide behind that.
Yeah.
And therefore do what they want in the classroom and dare you to get rid of them and say, screw it, I'm doing what I want.
First Amendment has so many different interpretations when it should be simply one, free speech. I don't like what you say, now, but it's your right to say it.
Right. And let me just add one other thing.
Sure.
The Harvard Hates America thing was also about my time at Harvard Business School, which was a different experience than Harvard College, which you and I have just been talking in general about liberal indoctrination. Harvard Business School had none of that. Harvard Business School, when I was there, was all into training men and women to go into business and have a single focus on, quote, maximizing profit for the shareholder, unquote, at all costs.
And I wonder how that's changed now with the woke companies. One quick question to you before I lose the opportunity. The time you spent in Congress, and even before you went to Harvard and gained this wide knowledge, did you know the difference between a fire alarm and if you pulled it, what would happen?
Well, I've always thought the fact that it's next to an elevator means you pull it and the elevator will fire its doors open and you get in. That guy's a hothead. He's going to get punished.
Well,
he's going to get punished pretty severely. I think.
Why isn't he being going after like a January 6th and trying to interfere with our process?
I think we know why, but I think going to happen. What's going to happen on that? I think here's what's coming. Kevin McCarthy is going to have to make a deal with the Democrats to keep his speakership, and the Democrats are going to have a heavy price for this. One of which is we're going to take it easy on Congressman Bowman for pulling a fire alarm.
Yeah.
And I think the Democrats are going to insist that all this impeachment stuff against Biden get dropped.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Listen, I thank you for your time, and we got through without even mentioning Donald Trump. Thank you, sir. We'll do it again. John LaBoutier.
Great. Thank you, Larry.
You bet. Coming up, McCarthy on pulling the fire alarm. Standing by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton, and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Most of the in the press probably thought we would have shut down yesterday, too. But no, we did not.
Were you confident we wouldn't shut down?
I was confident I could get something on the floor to make sure the option that we would not.
But
that
you
our
sure
military
it was pass.
Well, I wasn't sure it was going to pass. You want to know why? Because the Democrats tried to do everything they can not to let it pass. They did
dilatory. Democrats were the ones who voted for this.
Did you
watch number than Republicans to keep the continuing resolution alive?
Did you watch the floor yesterday?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
90 Republicans voted against it.
Okay, so let's walk through what actually happened. First of all, the Democrats stood up and did dilatory actions, asked to adjourn. So was that supporting to adjourn? Then they used the magic minute. They went as far as pulling the fire alarm, not to try to get the bill to come up. Look,
that's
Democrats stick together,
Truman.
But they did not want the bill. They did not. They were willing to let government shut down for our military not to be paid. No, I wasn't. We are going to make sure we keep it open while we finish the job we're supposed to do.
And so we continue to be open. The point I want to focus on, that was part of the Face the Nation interview, which Speaker of the House McCarthy gave to Face the Nation on CBS and the new Face the Nation host, Margaret Brennan. As he said, they tried everything they could, all their tricks to try to keep us from voting and try to keep us in disarray, even to pulling a fire alarm. And of course, that's part of the conversation I was asking former New York Congressman John LeBoutier, who served in Congress. You don't have to be a Congress member, nor do you even have to be Harvard educated or even a high school education, probably not even coming out of grade school, to know you pull a fire alarm, it signals alarms everywhere. We have a fire in the building. It's a threat. Maybe have to evacuate. And there was concern they might have to do that yesterday, or over the weekend, I should say. And how did that fire alarm get pulled, and how did it extend the voting process? And in fact, to use the words of the January 6th Commission about those they called insurrectionists impeding the democracy of our nation and trying to hurt our democracy by stalling and ruining our vote process, that would be Democrat, may I shout again, Congressman Jamal Bowman of New York. He's been in Congress for 2+ years now. And suddenly, he pulls a fire alarm. Did not apologize for it and say, oh, my bad, I made a mistake. You don't mistakenly pull a fire alarm. It's clearly labeled above it, fire, and then push or pull. He knew that. And then he's going out a doorway that's marked clearly with those placards. You've seen them. Going through this door will trigger a fire alarm. He knew that. There is apparently video that shows he's taking those signs, tearing them off the board, off the doors. There was a stanchion, a placard on a stand as you go toward the doors saying, do not exit except in case of emergency. He got that out of the way, and he goes over to the wall and pulls the fire alarm. Oh, his excuse. Of course he has an excuse. I thought it would help open the door quicker so I could get out and get over to the House to cast my vote. Who's the idiot here? Are you supposed to be the idiot and accept that as an excuse for pulling the fire alarm, not knowing it would do that? Or is the idiot the one that pulls the fire alarm saying, I didn't know what a fire alarm was? Or is it someone who's not really an idiot but thinks, oh, I'll get by with it. I'm a leftist. I'll get by with it. Capitol Police released publicly a photograph showing two red signs that were normally affixed to the door were no longer there as Bowman pulls the alarm. And then he casually walks into the House as they're taking a motion to adjourn, walked up to the door, threw them on the ground, and then later walked into the House casually as if he were no longer in a hurry. All of that undercuts what he did. He said, well, I thought the alarm would open the door. Huh. What do you want to be, Congressman? You want to be an idiot or a liar? Or both. We can give you both titles if you'd like. More than glad to do so. And all of it was, again, as you heard McCarthy saying, the Democrats have not done anything on their side to really do anything to advance and keep our nation going, and in fact, they thought we would, in fact, have to shut down, and we didn't. Again, I don't like that we're having to deal with a continuing resolution again, but the Biden administration and the Democrats want a clean bill, which would include $16 billion more for Ukraine, and then money for emergency U.S. emergencies. No additional money for border protection and security, walls, so forth. And that's the real issue. And you heard McCarthy say they were doing everything they could, every tactic. They tried the motion to adjourn. That failed. And then the House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, using as much time as he could through his magic minute. Now, that allows the opposition leader say, may I speak for a minute? And then they go on and on and on. It's not really a filibuster, but a magic minute becomes a magic, whoa, pull a rabbit out of the hat. That's something entirely new. That's not a minute. They did all of that. And then Bowman says, I got an idea. I'll go pull a fire alarm. Congressman Bowman, your choice, my friend. You label him. Idiot, stupid, or both? I'm sorry, I'm only giving you three options. Beyond that, not going to help you. Well, the Trump New York trial began, but before he entered the court.
This is a continuation of the single greatest witch hunt of all time. We have a rogue judge who rules that properties are worth a tiny fraction, 1/100th. A tiny fraction of what they actually are. We have a racist attorney general who's a horror show who ran on the basis that she was going to get Trump before she even knew anything about me. She used this to run for governor. She failed in her attempt to run for governor. She had virtually no polling. She came back and she said, well, now I'll go back to get Trump again. And this is what we have. It's a scam. It's a sham.
Yeah. And then in the courtroom, The person he's referring to, Letitia James, who even ran her campaign on get me into office, and I'll take Donald Trump's scalp and put it above my doorway. And there they are in the trial, the courtroom, the New York AG and Donald Trump sitting just feet apart. Photographers were allowed to capture some of that. Then the judge said, all cameras out as we begin the trial. And the way CNN treats it, the ex-president and his co-defendants were found liable for fraud, a finding that may end his business career in his former home state, the trials deciding any damages owed. Now, to that point, once again, Donald Trump.
Just so you know, my financial statements are phenomenal. They are actually less in terms of the numbers used than the actual net worth. The actual net worth is substantially more. No bank was affected. No bank was hurt. They don't even know why they have to be involved. And they've so testified. They can't believe that they're involved because they were paid back on time. There were no defaults. There were no problems. And it was like a perfect client. In the meantime, people are being murdered all over the sidewalks of New York. There was no victim here. The banks were represented by the best, biggest, most prestigious law firms in the state of New York, actually in the country. Some of the biggest and best law firms, in all cases, the biggest and best law firms. That's who represented them. The banks got back their money. Again, there was never a default. There was never a problem. Everything was perfect. There was no crime. The crime is against me.
And in fact, no bank has filed suit against him. It's Letitia James, Attorney General for New York. That should tell you everything. Joe Biden told a friendly interviewer yesterday something that's going to really raise the ire of minority Americans. Be you black, brown, yellow, red, mix. He said on a ProPublica website, it's a progressive website, we're going to be talking about us as a nation very shortly, a minority white European country. And sometimes my Democrat colleagues don't speak enough to make it clear that is not going to change how we operate. In fact, he insisted, saying, Democrats must treat white Americans with respect. Oh, my God. Did he walk out totally uninformed today or yesterday? He continued, the Democrat Party in the past has on occasion spoken less to the needs of the whites and their fears or concerns. He goes on to talk about what we need to be doing to protect the European minority in the U.S., what will become European minority. He's not just talking about those coming in now as migrants or illegals. He's talking about white in general. And he's saying they're soon going to become a racial minority in their own nation. It's an American nation. It's not a white nation. It's not a black nation. It's an American nation. But Joe Biden has now put it down as black and white. They say this was probably planned by his deputies, and he did it because Democrats expect to lose votes because many Americans oppose his migration plan. It's not a migration plan. It's an open border policy. Biden escalated his 2024 campaign by claiming Republicans are a threat to democracy. Literally, our democracy is at stake. This is bigger than political disagreement. It's beyond that. And yet at the same time, he called for respect. He said, one day, we just need to make sure we show respect to white Americans, white Europeans. They're one and the same, Joe. If they're here legally and they aren't American, they're white. If they come from Europe and they're white, they're white. They're here in America. Well, there is immediate flashback from others. Congresswoman Delia Ramirez, Democrat, Illinois, stated in a September 20 hearing about the tax cost of migrants. She is the Chicago-born daughter of illegal immigrants. She said, one day without illegal immigrants, I had to correct that. I'm not sure she said the word illegal. It is written here in parentheses, so I don't know if she actually stated that. So let me read it again and not put that word in and not slant your view of it. She said, one day without immigrants, you don't eat. You remember there was a movie made several years ago, a day basically without, I can't remember the title, and I hadn't had time to look at it, Day Without Mexicans or something of that nature. It sounds very, it sounds immediately like it's a slurious type thing, but it's talking about how our economy would go down, what would happen to America. Yeah, here it is. A Day Without a Mexican is what it was titled. It was released back in 2004. A mockumentary, as I said, as California-based Mexicans who represent a third of that state's population suddenly disappear. What happens? Well, there's a Florida congresswoman who got a lot of flack probably around the time of that movie being made or shortly there before or after, stating, if we don't have illegals, migrants, who's going to be making the beds in our hotels? Our business in Florida, our tourism business, will go down. Who's going to be cleaning the rooms, making the beds? You have to see, how demeaning that is to people of a brown skin or black skin or any minority or anyone who is has no education, but they can earn money cleaning hotel rooms. The real issue is for Joe Biden. This will stand as a fact that he's going to have to deal with. Despite speeches by Border Chief Mayorkas that I'm building a mass migration system and it will help wealthy employers have workers and bring equity to poor foreigners, he said the nation's border laws are subordinate to elite opinion about the values of our country. Well, 54% majority of Americans say Biden is allowing a southern border invasion. That is a 2022 survey commissioned by NPR, National Public Radio. 54% of those interviewed say Biden is allowing a southern border invasion. You want to break it down demographically? As you would expect, heavily on the Republican side, 76% of them who are Republicans agree with that statement. 46% of independents agree that he's opened our country to an invasion. 40% of Democrats think the same. That was more than a year ago. And we know the facts are there. We are being invaded. As always, I thank you for listening. Share the word with others. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.